be here in 2 months, but I'm going to call you back. I'm going to bother you if I don't bother anybody else here. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I saw who you were having to preach on Mother's Day. And I don't know Brother Jew personally, but I have heard him preach. He's a good preacher. So I know you'll look forward to that, and you ought to be here for that, if at all possible. He is a good preacher. Like I said, I did not know he had 6 kids. That's a bunch of youngins. Your crowd will grow. Nothing else. He is. You don't have to worry about that. Oh, me. No, he is a good preacher. Like I said, I don't know him personally or anything like that, but he is a good preacher. He was down in Montgomery for a while preaching for a pastor friend of mine. So he's a good preacher. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. It's a story most of you have heard all of your life. You've heard different sermons on it and heard everybody preach on it. And I've told you before, there ain't nothing new under the sun, so we just all preach the same stuff, but you might get something a little different out of it. So I'm going to preach it this morning. Now we're going to do a little bit of reading. I'm going to read chapter 6, and then we're going to kind of go back through it, tiptoe through some stuff, and kind of just expound on what the Word of God has for us this morning. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said, 'Thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, and the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal salute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions.'" I like how they left Daniel out of that whole little discussion. And we move on. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. 'Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save, O thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not.' Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, 'Know, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establish may be changed.' Then the king commanded And they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments or music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a laminated voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent in his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of the lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had a mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He that delivereth and rescueth and he that delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel purposed in the reign, or prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now you have this story, and like I said, you've heard it all your life. Daniel in the lion's den. There's some things going on in this story that you see, and I got a few things out of it studying this week, and I saw that there was some consistency that Daniel had. Some consistency that Daniel had. They couldn't find fault in Daniel in chapter 4, even though they were looking for it. Now we know Daniel was a man of God. He must have been, because in verse 3 it says, because of an excellent spirit that was in him. Now what was that spirit? It was the spirit of Jesus Christ. He's sitting there saying, hey, he believes in this God. And this God is what drives Daniel to do the right thing every single day. Every single day he's trying and striving to do the right thing. What about you? You say you're a Christian. You say you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He indwells in you, but do you actually live for him, or do you just act like it? Is the consistency there? Is the consistency there? Because you see, in verse 4, they're trying to find a fault in Daniel. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to be able to get him in trouble. But they couldn't find a fault in him, so what did they have to do? They had to go pick on his God, right? They had to go to something that he believed to try to find fault in him. What do they do today? You believe in the things of God, what do they do to you? They mock and ridicule you. They call you things. And now they do it in the church. Well, that's cool, ain't it? I stand on the King James Bible. Every other church is going to talk about you. I believe in rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, he must be a Ruckmanite. I went to Dave Reese's Bible school. I didn't go to Ruckman's Bible school. Ruckman said that Dave Reese That's the funniest thing about that whole situation. They'll call me a Ruckmanite. They'll jump on that bandwagon. If you say anything about dispensations, you must be a Ruckmanite. You know what Ruckman said about Dave Reese? He said he was Reese's Pieces. That means he divided it more than Ruckman did. That's the school I went to. Why? Because somebody studied the Word of God and rightly divides the Word of truth, which is what it tells you to do in 2 Timothy 2? I just go with what the Word of God says. I'm just going to stick with it. If it says rightly divide it, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to rightly divide it. And I'm going to preach it that way. And I'm going to stand on it that way. I don't care what any of them say about it. They ain't going to hurt my feelings. The next 2 months is probably going to be a little rough, okay? I've been nice and pleasant. My pleasant is gone. So you're going to get some preaching over the next few weeks. Y'all will be glad to get a break at Mother's Day. Stand on something. Why? Because everybody's going to try to find some fault in you. They're going to try to find where you waver. They're going to try to find where you fall. You've got to be consistent in the thing. If you say you stand on the Word of God, then be consistent and stand on the Word of God. Don't waver. Don't go back and forth. You see in James chapter 4 and verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You see, that's the problem. Everybody wants to be with the world. They want to be friends with the world. You can't be. You have to be different. There has to be a separation somewhere. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've been through that whole study. You have to be different from everybody else. You can't just be the same. You have to actually know what you believe and why you believe it. They're trying to find fault in him and they couldn't find the fault. So they went to his God. He stayed faithful when people started accusing him. Do you stay faithful in those things? They start calling you names and they start doing all this stuff. Guess what? It don't matter. It don't matter. Eternity's coming, folks. Eternity's coming. And you ain't got to worry about what they think. You ain't got to worry about what they say, because they gonna say something. I remember when I was singing, they would always talk about, well, they're talking about the group and this and this and this and this. You know, publicity is good publicity. It don't matter what kind it is. If they talking, you must be doing something right. Whether they talk bad or whether they talk good, just let them talk. They had to go against his God. So what did they do to go against his God? They catered to a king's ego, didn't they? Catered to a king's ego. They went to this king and they said, "Oh king, you know, nobody should really worship a god or any other man but you. So for the next 30 days, king, how about we just make this thing just a decree and you sign this thing and if they go against it, we'll throw them in the lion's den." And like I said before, they go and say all the counselors and all the princes and all the priests, everybody was there in this meeting, but yet Daniel wasn't there. Don't you think Daniel would have said, "Hey, that's probably not a good idea"? I believe if Daniel had been in the meeting, he'd have said, "Hey, I don't agree with that." And you see, he was put over the rest of them, right? So they just left him out of the situation. And then they came to the king and said, "Just sign it." And the king, you know, you can see he's got an ego. He has to have had an ego, right? He's sitting there going, "Man, that sounds like a good idea. They only need to worship me for the next 30 days. And that ego changed some stuff, didn't it? Because of this ego and because they knew how to manipulate this king, they got what they wanted. And he signs it. All along they knew what Daniel does, right? Why? Because Daniel is consistent. Daniel doesn't change. Daniel is the same person all of the time, right? So when you get over into verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God," because he wanted to prove a point. Because he wanted to show off. Because he wanted to go against the authority and the decree that had been set up. That's not what my Bible says. Mine says, "as he did aforetime." You see, they knew what he did every single solitary day. He was consistent. He was consistent. He was consistent to pray. He was consistent to give thanks to God. Are you consistent to do that? Most of us, probably not. You only study the Word of God when you've got to give something. Amen? You only read the Word of God when it's convenient for you to read it. You pick it up and you say, "Well, I just don't have time today." What if he said, "I didn't have time to die for you"? You don't look at it that way, do you? It makes you uncomfortable. You see, Daniel was consistent. He did it every single day. They knew this. Daniel didn't try to prove a point with it. You see, that's what I found out happened during COVID. I'm going to jump on this bandwagon just because I can. I don't care whether you got a vaccine or whether you didn't. Okay? I do not care. I know people that got them. I know people that didn't. You got your opinion? I got mine. Guess what? They both probably wrong. Guess what? I don't care. But all these preachers that came out of the woodworks ain't never said anything about anything. Boy, they sure did jump down a lot of people's throat because they got a vaccine, didn't they? They sure did jump down a lot of people's throat because they didn't get a vaccine, didn't they? Yeah, that was both sides. You see, what I did was, if you want to get one, get one. And if you don't. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I didn't like the fact they were forcing you to get it. Okay? That was my problem with it. That was my whole issue with it. It wasn't whether you got it or not. It was the fact that they forced you. I didn't like it when the hospital forced you to get a flu shot because you had to stick people with a needle every day. I didn't like that either. If you don't want to get it, don't get it. But a bunch of preachers came out of the woodworks, and boy, they just hounded that stuff, didn't they? And they hammered that stuff. And then you had this side. Churches had to shut down some. Now, there was a few select churches that we ain't shutting down for nothing. And you know what? They didn't. And some of them got away with it. Nobody got sick. Nobody died. Some of them had a lot of people die. Some of them shut down because they had a lot of people getting sick. Guess what? My dad shut down. Does that make him less of a preacher? Less of a man of God because he decided, "Hey, my uncle passed away from this stuff and there was 9 members that were sick at the same exact time"? Sometimes you got to do what you think is right. I seen my dad labor over that thing and ask God to help him and crying in the floorboard like, you wasn't there. You didn't see it. I saw it. I saw the hurt on his face when he's sitting there going, "I do not know what to do. I don't want to compromise, but at the same time, I can't let everybody get sick." And you know what? I don't care whether they shut down or whether they didn't. They had to make that choice. They had to get on their knees before God and decide whether or not they needed to shut down or whether they didn't. But you sure had a lot of people preaching against all that stuff, didn't you? You had that other side's preaching over here saying, "You shouldn't shut down for anything. That's compromising on the Word of God." Is it really? I don't think so. I think it's called discernment. Whether you like it or not. Ain't no sense in getting everybody sick for no reason. Especially in small churches. With elderly people. Then you have the other side saying, if you don't shut down, you're just... ain't none of your business either. So I jump on both sides. You know what you should have done? Whatever your church needed to do. That's what you needed to do. That's what you needed to do as a church. You should have came together and done what was best for your church. And there were ways around it. And the bigger churches had more of an advantage. They could do things online and they could go to church through Facebook and they could do all that kind of stuff. And my dad tried some of that stuff, and my dad hates Facebook. He's about as old as Brother Tim. They hate Facebook. He did it twice. He said, I ain't preaching on Facebook no more. He said, they going to come preach. They're going to have to come outside of the house or something. I ain't doing this no more. But there were some churches that did all that, and they kind of got through it. But there was no compromise. I don't believe that there was compromise. I believe that there was discernment in the situations. There was a lot of people trying to make points when they had never made a point before. It's kind of like nowadays you see an attack on the King James Bible. Every time I look at Facebook, there's always somebody. And it's always them somebodies that used to stand for something, and now all of a sudden they change their position. It's the one thing about me. You may sit back and go, you know, I don't agree with him, but I don't change my position for you. I don't change my position because I want a bigger crowd or I want things to change. I just preach it because it's what the Word of God says. I believe when it says every word of God is pure, then it's pure. And I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to stand right there and preach it anyway. I'm not going to compromise on the Word of God. I'm going to be consistent in that thing. Daniel was consistent even when they thought they had him. He just did what God told him to do, as he had always done, as he did aforetime. The consistency was there. You see in verse 14, that consistency kind of paid off a little bit. It says, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. You see, if you're consistent, eventually, one day, somebody's going to look back and go, maybe he was right. You see, the king has realized he messed up. The one guy that he has put so much faith and trust in, he realizes, I have messed this whole thing up, and now I've got to put him in a lion's den because of it. Because of his consistency. I like the fact that his composure doesn't change. His composure doesn't change. As we said, he did what he always did in verse 10. He just kept on praying and kept on praising God anyway, even after the decree was signed, not to prove the point, but to just do what God asked him to do. I'll notice this too, as you go through the story and you see it develop and you see the fact that he's going to be put in this lion's den, and inevitably you would think that if you're going to be thrown into a lion's den, you're probably not going to walk out of it, right? If somebody walks up to me and says, hey, we're going to go to the zoo, and when we get there, I'm going to throw you over the fence, see how you fare. Probably not going to walk back out. Probably not. I'm going to hope he ate a real big steak before I got there. And I'm going to hope that I learned how to climb real quickly. You see, Daniel is going to this lion's den, and I imagine in Daniel's mind that he's thinking, hey, this is probably it right here. But you know what you don't see in any of these verses right here? You don't see Daniel fighting or going against it or trying to argue the point or anything. You don't see any struggle there. His composure is just... When they lower him in the lines, then it doesn't even talk about him like, you know, trying to climb out or fight back or anything. You see, that's what sets people apart, that composure thing. When your world falls apart and everything's going bad, but then you look at somebody that's got some real faith and they got some composure about themselves and they're sitting there going, God's got this. Then you know they got it. It's when everything in the world starts falling apart and the lion's den is coming up and they start trying to get out of the situation. Why did God do this to me? Why is this happening in my life? Why is this going this way? You see, they're arguing the point. Daniel's not arguing anything. Daniel's not saying, hey, God, I just prayed like you told me to. Why do I have to go? Daniel understood, hey, the king signed a decree. You signed it, buddy. I got to go. I believe they didn't even have to chain him up and take him to it. I believe he just walked. That's where I got to go. That's what you wrote. That's what you signed. We can't go against it. This was your idea, King. I did a good job. They couldn't find fault in me. I've never went against you. And I ain't going to do it right here. Do you have that kind of composure? When you wreck a lawnmower, you get that kind of composure. When you deal with cancer, that kind of composure. When your grandchild's sick, you got that kind of composure. Here's one for you. When the pastor's leaving, do you still have composure? God's still faithful, right? Think about this. Victor's been looking for a youth pastor for about 7 years now. Joey Bird pastors that church and does a good job. That church has about 200 members. It has a K-4 through 12th grade high school. It has a daycare. That means there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of stuff to keep up with. He has a bunch of moving parts. And Brother Joey is the pastor and the music director and the choir director. And he's got to be over the school. And he's got to be over the daycare. I think he needs some help. What you think? It's a lot of moving parts. You see, this church is a little different. You see, I noticed that when I first came here. Why? Because you step up and do what has to be done. That's what makes you different. That's what makes you so good. You're consistent. You show up. You're in your place. Week in and week out. Things happen. Yeah, you got to go to work. Got to do that. I'm not talking about all that, but you're consistent. You have to do. You come here. You're faithful. You lead the music. Why? So the preacher ain't got to do it every week too. To take care of the finances. Why? Because they got to be taken care of. You got to have somebody that can handle all that stuff. Preacher can't do everything. You're faithful. You strive to do better. You deal with Wednesday night services when you don't want to. But you do it anyways because it's got to be done, right? And you do a good job at it. You put on a good study. You should say amen right there. If nothing else to say amen to, say amen to that. You teach teenagers the best you can. You have them over to your house and you do everything you can do to try to be the best to the youth that you possibly can. And you say, well, they don't have a lot of them. It don't matter if you got a lot of them. It matters that you're consistent trying to teach them something and give them the Word of God. Are you going to be consistent past this point? I pray that you are. Daniel was consistent in the things that he did. He kept his composure when things went bad. And then thirdly, the victory was given. You get on down to the end of the story and you see that the lion's mouth were shut. Now, ain't that like God when you just do what you're supposed to do? That He takes care of the problems. Now, I'm glad we even got it better than Daniel did. You see, they sent an angel for Daniel, and I don't need an angel because I got the Holy Spirit. And amen to that. I even got Daniel. I got one up on him. You see, Brother Ricky flips a truck. It ain't an angel in that truck with him. It was the Holy Spirit of God sitting in there with him saying, hey, I got this under control. I got this under control. I'm going to make this outcome come the way that I want it to go. God always gets the victory. Every single time. When you've been sick and you don't know what to do, guess what happens? Just put it in God's hands. And then you feel better. He gives you the doctors to give you the right medicine, to do the right things so that you can keep moving on and keep encouraging people. When everything seems to fall apart, Brother Dave, what do? You just give it to God. He just takes care of it, doesn't He? And then you can go to the cabin and you can work and you can do all them things that nobody else would do for you. You can build tree stands for the next year. Why? Because He ain't worried about it because God's got it under control. Because God's going to get the victory no matter what happens. You see, I believe Daniel could have all this composure and he could have all of these things going on in his life and he realizes that, hey, I've got to go to this den and I've got to go into this lion's den where I might die. But yet he sits back and goes, must be what God wanted. And he just sits down. You see, the only one that didn't seem to have a good night was the king. You know, the one that had signed the decree because his ego was too big and he wanted everybody to praise him. That guy. That guy messed up. But what do you see? He didn't sleep all night. He didn't want no musicians. He didn't want anybody coming in his room. He fasted. He didn't want anything to eat. It made him sick. And as soon as daybreak, what happens? Boy, he is running to the den. He was making haste, right? He was getting there as quickly as possible. And he's opening the door saying, hey, Daniel! Daniel, are you down there? Did your God deliver you? This one you prayed to 3 times a day? Is that one the one that delivered you? Guess what? Hey, I'm all right. I used one of them as a pillow because it was comfy that way. It kind of got a growl. It's kind of like a bus, you know. Got that generator on. You can sleep real good when the generator's running. If y'all ain't never tried it, go get you a camper and enjoy that. I love a generator on a bus. Whew! But I can imagine them lions just sitting there. They was awfully hungry at this point in time, wouldn't you think? Because God done come down there and said, hey, you're not going to touch him. Not only are you not going to eat him, you ain't going to jump on him neither. And you know, when lions were put in dens like that back in those days, they weren't fed well. You see, you might be thrown into one at the zoo and you might get away with it because they fed pretty regularly. I'm not saying that I would try it, but if you want to, you might get away with it. These lions are different. They were meant to stay starved until something was thrown in there so they'd rip it apart. They pulled Daniel out. What'd they do? They said, all them ones that accused you, we're going to throw you in that hole now. And not only you, just because we're going to put your kids in there just in case they do something crazy later on down the road, and we're going to get rid of your wife while we're at it. They got the whole family. They didn't want nobody left. And those lions destroyed them like that. It proves right there they was hungry. Because you'll hear the people say, well, they must have not been hungry. That's the reason why they didn't mess with him. What kind of wild animal wouldn't just rip something apart just to rip it apart? That is the dumbest statement I think I've ever heard anybody make. But God got the victory. God ultimately got the victory because after all this was said and done, then the king comes back and writes a different decree, doesn't he? He says, we got to serve Daniel's God. Now, how would you like that? You've gone through this whole thing and you've stood for God. And you've been faithful and consistent and kept your composure to the point now that the king writes to the whole entire nation, hey, you need to serve this God. You need to serve this one right here. You're talking about outreach, boy. I think he did a good job at that. His consistency paid off. His composure paid off. Yours will too one day. You're consistent to the things of God, and you're consistent to that Word of God, and you're consistent to preach and teach the Word of God. Guess what? God's going to get some increase. You might not always see it. But God's going to get it. I think about the church as a whole, and you sit back and see people that come to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's why you do it. That's why we preach it. That's why we teach it. That's why I'm constantly saying, study to show thyself approved. Because one day you're going to have to answer somebody's questions, and you need to be able to give them the gospel plainly. And you need to be bold when you do it. God's going to get the victory. At the end of all of this life, it doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter what they write about you. It doesn't matter how they treat you. I know that one day when I stand before an almighty God, I can sit back and say, I preached it just as straight as I could preach it. Will there be things that he'll say, that was wrong? Most definitely. You know, I'm not crazy. I know I ain't got it all together. But I think he'll sit back and go, sure were consistent. You sure had some good composure about yourself when you just kept on just going. Even when they tried to tear you down, you just kept on. That's the kind of person I want to be. What about you? This morning, as Miss Barb comes and plays the piano, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, of course, we give you the invitation to be able to come down here. I'd love to be able to take the Word of God and show you how that you can know that you know that you're saved. That's the most important thing that'll happen here this morning. But maybe you're not as close to God as you should be. Maybe you don't have that kind of composure and that consistency in your life, and maybe you ought to get that right with God this morning. Maybe you ought to start to make a change to be a better Christian. Why? So that you can be more effective for God. Be a more effective witness. Maybe you ought to get that settled this morning. As you stand to your feet, bow your head, close your eyes. Nobody looking around.